You must call no one your father, since you have only one Father in heaven. 20 years ago, I was walking down Baylor Street, the main street of Wagga, on a Saturday morning, and about 5 or 6 Pentecostals, Bible Christians, young people came towards me and said, "Are you a priest?" And I said, "I am. I'm a Catholic priest." They said, "How dare you worship Mary?" And I said, "Well, we don't." And before I answer, another one said, "And don't call anyone Father, and you call yourself Father." And another one started on purgatory. They all gathered around me and I said, "Let's stop with that Father one." And I said, "What language was Jesus speaking? Because he didn't say the word Father as you just said it. What was the language?" And they said, "You're speaking Aramaic. And what's the word in Aramaic for Father? Huh? Aramaic? Father?" I said, "Don't you know? It's Abba. Do you think you're saying the word Abba?" "No, that's a musical pop group." So I started going off on tangents. I said, "What language was the Bible written in?" "Oh, Hebrew." He said, "That's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament?" I said, "Greek. What's the Greek word for Father?" And I was stumped. And at that I said, "It's Pater, isn't it?" And I said, "Have you put all this together in the right context?" And we started to argue on different points, and eventually we smiled, shook hands, and agreed to disagree. And I walked away called Father Murphy, and they wouldn't say Father Murphy, by Murphy. So, but the problem lies with the text must be placed within the context. Text and context go together. Anyone can misquote scripture. Anyone can misquote anything. Never ever doubt that people can pull a verse out of the Bible and make it do backflips, twist it inside out. Satan quoted scripture at God. Satan misquoted scripture. He manipulated the text out of the context and did what he liked. And we can do the same. We must always put the text within its context, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And the best way to make sense of this weekend's gospel is by turning to that marvellous prophet Malachi. He's one of the 12 minor prophets and one of my favourites. And this weekend he gives a very stern warning to those in authority. He says to us priests, "The warning is for you. You're not going to be blessed, you're going to be cursed, because you've become a stumbling block to my teaching. You aren't interested in people giving me glory, but giving yourselves glory. It's all about you and not about me, because you've distanced yourself from me. You've not kept to my paths." Priests were not praying. Priests had distanced themselves from God, and therefore they weren't seeking God's glory, but their own. And that's what was happening also in the time of our Lord. They were wearing phylacteries with little text tucked into them and long tassels. In other words, it's all show and no go. They had the talk but not the walk. It was all about them and not about God. So our Lord calls them to mind that these people are hypocrites. Don't follow them because they have no virtue within. It's all show on the outside. They do not practice what they preach. And therefore, seek true authority. He talks about rabbis, teachers, leaders, and also fathers, spiritual fathers. It's okay to call the priest father because God has given us a commandment, honour your father and your mother. But you might say, "Well, that's a biological relationship, therefore I ought to honour my biological father." True, rightly so. But it's not merely a biological relationship you have with fathers. There's also a spiritual bond. People who are baptized have godfathers and godmothers, a spiritual bond of authority. Furthermore, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 calls himself a father because he's baptized so many. He's their spiritual father. So our Lord's not condemning the use of father, either at a biological or spiritual level. But he is condemning those people who supplant or replace or become obstacles to God the Father in heaven. In fact, any form of authority, be it a teacher, a minister, or a leader who becomes an obstacle to God's will ought not to be followed. And that's the text in its context. And we have that problem right today in Victoria. People are claiming the authority to change God's laws, the moral laws on life, when it begins and when it ends. It's not their place. No state in the world ought to enter into the moral realm of life and death, nor marriage. Stick with taxes, buildings, infrastructure. Stay within your realm. Don't follow the leaders in Victoria because they've lost their authority, because they've become stumbling blocks to God's will. And we must be mindful that anyone can supplant the will of God. The word authority means author's rights, the person who's been designated to govern, as parents their children, priests their flock. But we must do it according to God's way and not our way, giving him the glory and not ourselves. Otherwise, we become obstacles to God's will. And therefore, a reform is required. A purging is needed. And as we pray for those holy souls in purgatory, a beloved in this month of November, let us pray for those also in authority, that they might always be mindful of the task given to them and execute it according to the Lord's will. Otherwise, God will send someone to cleanse, to heal, to purify. In the 16th century, a fascinating century of the Church's long and arduous pilgrimage, we find the split of Christendom. The cloven foot came into existence. Until the Protestant Reformation, there was one church, one Bible, one set of sacraments. But with the protesting Catholics leaving the Catholic Church, with Martin Luther in Germany and then Henry in England, a split emerged that's still with us today. The division remains. And with that split, God called great saints to reform the church from within. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. There's also one man called Charles Borromeo, whose feast day was yesterday, who was a great reformer of God's clergy. He became the Archbishop Cardinal of Milan and was a holy priest who did do God's will and sought God's glory rather than his own. And for that reason, he wasn't popular. He had 3,000 priests. Many of them were not doing God's will. He had to reform them, set up seminaries. He's the one that gave us what we call CCD, or the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. He was the one that coined the notion of Sunday school to educate people in their faith on the Lord's Day. He was a truly pastoral man who sought God's will rather than his own. And therefore, people despised him, they attacked him, they hated him. On one occasion, there was an order that committed itself, under vow of obedience, to execute, to assassinate the Archbishop. Their plot was foiled, however. But there was dissent across the board, and that was just one diocese within the church. A very fascinating time. So you think we're going through a tough time today, read about the 16th century in Europe. And it's an eye-opener. The church does endure. The church will endure. But God will purge it, cleanse it, as required. Just like our souls, once we leave this planet and are on the way home, will be required to be purged and cleansed. We pray for the holy souls, we pray for all souls, that they might conform their will to God's and seek true authority, the rights of the author, who is God, our creator, our lover, our guide, and our king, awaiting those who are faithful in the kingdom hereafter.